was going to discuss, and then, as you know, open to all your questions, and happy to try to provide whatever answers I can. The first, and very briefly, is the state of the NFL. Second, state of the Eagles on and off the field. Third would be talking about Andy Reid, and the fourth would be our fans, and then we'll go from there. The state of the NFL, we're, as you all know, entering the second year of the collective bargaining agreement, and really the first off season that was a part of this collective bargaining agreement in a normal scheduled sense. By all accounts, the NFL is incredibly strong. The popularity of this sport, with over 182 million fans, broadcast ratings through the charts, best ever coming out of a lockout, and incredible interest throughout the products of the NFL, such that you're going to see, you know, I guess what I would say is there's so much success, but the thing that I think makes the NFL really successful is it doesn't take the success for granted. And this year we're going to have increased access to games with increased primetime NFL games. There's more ways to engage the NFL as the NFL embraces social media in a huge way. And the ratings, you know, it doesn't often get written about, but twice of what NASCAR does. NASCAR is by far the second most successful sport in America today. But if you take all the other sports and multiply times four, you still don't get to the ratings of the NFL. And, you know, I told you that I thought the key to the collective bargaining agreement was that we make sure that every game is critical. That separates the sport. And the other thing that absolutely separates the sport is the fact that small markets, medium markets, and large markets have an equal opportunity to win. It doesn't sound like a very complicated formula, but it's the formula that drives the success. We know it's a great sport, but if you know going in that you're just going to have four or five markets that have a much better chance, it changes the whole dynamic, and it allows people from every market to feel that every game is important the way we have it. And I'm just, you know, very, very thankful that we were able to maintain that formula going forward. Another thing that's happening, I think, is we had a wave of new stadiums, and there's been a lot of investment in the new stadiums. And, you know, I'm really pleased to be able to say that two great franchises are going to have new stadiums in the 49ers, the first in California in, I think, over 50 years, and the Vikings. Very important for the league, for stability and for fan bases that are great. Minnesota and San Francisco, wonderful fan bases, wonderful tradition, like the Eagles, and they're going to have state-of-the-art stadiums as well now. And I think also, lastly, with the NFL, it's taking on a lot of, taking on in a great way, serious issues with safety and improved on-field monitoring and long-term counseling and a teaching apparatus that goes from youth football all the way through the pros. So it bodes well. In terms of the Eagles, there's been a lot and probably a little, but there's a lot to say, and I'm sure a lot of the questions I'll be very happy to answer. But I think in terms of this offseason, it came after a very aggressive free agency in 2011 that has, I think, been really outstanding, and with five very key players, four through free agency and one through trade. And obviously talking about Nnamdi and Cullen, DRC through trade, Evan Mathis and Jason Bevin. It's hard to leap up and get five significant players in one off season. And though it didn't create the kind of season we expected last year, we didn't do it for single year advancement. We did it for the long term and how to elevate a team. And that was a unique chance to do that. I think that this offseason it was more about signing our excellent young core players, terrific young players and players that have contributed really terrifically over the last several years. And very pleased we were able to do that. I myself, and I usually don't even comment on drafts because I don't think you can really know for 2 or 3 years, but I've never been more excited about a draft than this past draft. And even more so because of some of the undrafted and late drafted players who really have a chance to be special players. I think that the popularity of the team is, you know, is a credit to our fan base. I almost never get up here and say it's another sold-out season. It's just an obvious thing. Our fan base is spectacular. We have some of the strongest television ratings in the National Football League. Our preseason game against New England rated higher than the Olympics in Philadelphia. Amazing. And if you take the top 25 programs nationally in the whole country, the Eagles played in three of those games. When the Eagles play, 50% of Philadelphia is watching, and that's remarkable. We talk a lot about the fan base and how great it is, but we are one of those lucky franchises that has a great tradition, a great history in certain ways, with a lot of opportunity to be better. And it's reflected in that popularity. It just doesn't wane and get stronger. We're trying to connect with our fan base in ever-increasing ways. One kind of crazy statistic is that we haven't even launched the Angry Birds game yet. There's just been some trailers and things on it. We've had YouTube has had 900,000 views of the Angry Birds once that announcement was made, off the charts. I'm looking forward to tributes to our great players like Steve Van Buren and Brian Dawkins. And, you know, another measurement of the team and the state of the team is your websites and your apps and what do fans want. And consistently, our apps and our websites are of the most popular tier in the NFL by far. And it's, again, a credit to the fans. It all goes back to them. I think that there is an attempt to try to be more accessible. I've tried to be a little more accessible in the off season, and I know philosophically, just I've been asked this question so many times. It's my philosophy that you should try as an organization to be accessible. It's not every time, every moment, and every personality that you have. You may have an outstanding executive or a great coach or a great owner or under executive or whatever it is talking at a different time. But you're going to have an opportunity if you philosophically believe in being accessible, and I do. So that's if you see that, it's always been my philosophy. Sometimes it can't be executed perfectly, but I think there's a feeling that when you're talking to the fans, you're talking to the fans via the press, and that's the way it works. It's whether it's bloggers, newspapers, television, there's respect there. I think the commitment to the community has continued in a great way. We had over 26,000 fans for our successful flight night, which is just remarkable again. Very proud still very proud of the Beyond Sport Award, and the more that rings true of what you can do as an organization, just something to be proud of. And the NRG project is on time, and once that's completed, that will make Lincoln Financial Field the greenest facility in the National Football League. So, you know, I think those commitments never wane. Now, this was, you know, I have to say, an off-season like no other. I think that in many ways, coming off a disappointing season for us with high expectations, I think that you felt even more humble and even more determined going into both this offseason and the 2012 season. I think that there was sort of a theme that there's a consistent reminder often that change is all a part of our lives, and we all experience that. Also, there's a consistent reminder that the Eagles go on no matter what, and you have Steve Van Buren leaving us, and you have, you know, Brian Dawkins coming home. You have Joe Banner moving on, and you have Howie and Don doing outstanding jobs. You have changes in my family, as you know, and of course you have the tragedy in the Reed family. So, you know, I have to say we're all human, and there's probably an off season of a lot of tears and a lot of celebrations. And I guess, again, I want to reiterate, this goes back to our fans. Our fans have been incredibly supportive throughout all this. I've said it to you before, but I'm going to say it again because I think it's right to the point, which is there's no better place to own a football team. The fans here both demand excellent football, deserve excellent football, and at the same time, their humanness comes out and their support comes out in phenomenal ways. And this is a city that is just galvanized and wants the very best for this franchise, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate all the support. I also want to thank all of you because you've had to cover some sensitive topics this offseason. Again, I said this is an offseason like no other, and whether it's involved my family or Andy Reid's family or the moving on of Joe Banner, whatever it's been, I think you've covered it with sensitivity and integrity. And that's so appreciated, and I'm proud of the way you've all handled it. It's, I think, been a great message to the rest of people handling sports teams around the country with issues. You've handled it really, really well, and yet you've, you know, focused us all on the season coming up at the same time in a big, big way. I think that when you go through a lot of the changes we have, it just it kind of makes the games seem even much more valuable, much more important, because it's what brings everybody together, and it allows you to really look forward to something in a great way. And we're all in this because we love football, but this has been a particular, I think, valuable offseason in the sense of just really can't wait for this to happen. And also, coming off the disappointment of last season, this is something we've been waiting for since, I think, December, when the team was playing extremely well. You know, my expectations, I've said it before, and I did say it after the last season, that I expect a substantially improved team. We all thought we were a lot better than 8-8, and we weren't. Your record tells you what you were. Yeah, we were playing great football at the end, and I think what I've noticed, and I hope it continues as we all expect it will into the regular season. Off season, of tremendous energy, tremendous working together. I think it started in the practices in December when our record was poor and we were struggling to make the playoffs, and it was a long shot, yet we came close. I think that energy and excitement and the team just came together has been more noticeable this off season than almost ever before. So I'm hopeful that that will both carry over in terms of talent and common purpose. I think that, you know, people are going to ask about Andy, and there's a lot to be said. I think we all know we've had a terrific run, and he's been a great coach. And this is an opportunity for the football team to have a terrific season. At the same time, I think I'm looking at it in a way where, you know, professionally we tend to put our resources into everything we can think of to make the team better. And whether that's scouting changes, coaching changes, player transactions, different approaches in different ways, you always try for that. There's an added kind of emphasis, I would say, this year out of necessity, which is I feel like responsible to be there personally, as I think we all do, for Andy and for Tammy. The team, the organization, the players, and our fans, the Philadelphia community, have been galvanized to support this family. It's an unmentionable pain, I think, that they're going through. And it provides a terrific sense of common purpose to have everybody so wanting this to be successful. And it's kind of like Team Andy. And, you know, we just, we so much want this to work out in a great way and to maximize the talent we have. And I think, you know, we'll know at the end of the season whether that unity that's occurred and whether that common purpose that we all share and excitement for the season we all share, you know, comes to fruition. But there's a real opportunity for success. I think that's pretty much it. Happy to really answer any questions. And again, just because it's talking to you guys, and I look into your eyes and say this, really respect your handling of a lot of the things this offseason. It's been refreshing for me, and I think just handled so well. Thank you. Happy to answer any questions.
Jeff, what message can you send to the fans as far as how you alluded to your personal changing family situation, yeah, how that will affect the franchise down the line?
Yeah, in terms of my own family situation, I think the NFL, actually, Albert Breer, had a report, and he had it exactly right. There is no change whatsoever in the operation of the Eagles, the ownership of the Eagles. I've always structured this franchise around having complete control, 100% voting, and total final decision making. That continues. I've always had a couple limited partners that were non-voting and not involved in, you know, in decisions and football decisions particularly. And that continues. Christina will also be a limited partner, as she's been, just like the other limited partners. That doesn't change. So I've structured it where my family has a tremendous majority of the ownership, and we have limited partners that I think are helpful, and that's really all it is. There'll be no change whatsoever going forward, and you know, any details, just refer to actually the NFL report. It had more details than I probably would have explained it, but there it was, and they happened to have it extremely accurately.
Be accurate to say you don't see anything happening with Andy's contract until the season is over?
That would be accurate. I'm very I like to evaluate everything, and there's just so many things to look at, and I think that I always reserve the judgment to look at things as they unfold, as after they've unfolded, and that's what I'll continue to do. You won't hear me talking about this during the season. Again, just I hope you can respect that. I don't like situations that become sideshows, and it's just not my style. I you know, reflect and analyze afterwards, and that's what I've always done.
Is that decision entirely your decision, and without Joe here, how's that dynamic change?
It doesn't change. It's always been, you know, my decision. It's I'm a good listener. I surround myself with people, but and I have really good people around me at all times. But you know, it's a very, very subjective decision, and I've always been the one to make it. And whether it's hiring, changing, whatever, all those are mine.
Andy Reid's agent, Bob Lamont, showed up at the training camp earlier this month, and he said some things about Andy's contract. You felt compelled about an hour later to release a statement. Why did you do that?
Just because it's not the way I operate in terms of there's we have a very set philosophy. We don't talk publicly about contracts with coaches. We don't talk about the performance of key executives and coaches. We don't do that. There would never have been, you know, a situation where I would make a commitment that was not philosophically consistent with what I've always done, which is just be very analytical and try to stand back and make judgments. And, you know, as I said, it's the nature of the coaching profession. it's not the most stable profession, and it's something where it's analyzed no matter what franchise it is. And my style is much more not get caught up in the moment, not make commitments that were talked about, and just really be very careful and analytic.
So you felt that Andy and Bob would look for a contract? I didn't at all.
I have a great relationship with Bob Lamont. I mean, he represents, I think, half the coaches in the league and half the aspiring coaches to be. And as an organization and myself personally, we have a great relationship with Bob, which, you know, will always serve us well, I think. Andy and I, we've worked together for, 14 years? We have a very much of a sort of an open door relationship, and we just talk directly. We never talk through others. So it was kind of like maybe caught up in the enthusiasm of the moment or something, but with Bob. But he and I just have a direct line of communication, and that's the way it's always been.
Do you need to see a certain level of on-field success from the team this year to evaluate Andy, or does it go beyond that?
It goes beyond that, but it's, you know, there's no question what I said was we need substantial improvement. We have a very good team, I think, on paper, and paper doesn't get you that far if you can't maximize it. And I'm so excited about this season. I think everybody in the organization and our fan base is very excited, but, you know, it's... it's a difficult league, and you got to try to beat the other teams that are also very good. I don't have a level or anything like that. I just want to be clear about that. It's just you try to make the best judgment you can after the season.
The name would not be good enough for Andy to come back?
No, it would not.
Do you feel like when the season's over, you'll just know?
I do. I think it'll be very clear, and that's what you...
being a balance and every the coach from the tragedy that he's gone through.
Right. No, I don't think it is. I think, you know, he will always have our support. Everybody in this community, I think, Andy will always have our sympathy and support. But this is a business, and, you know, you're there to win and win big, and you have to separate the two. And so all the analysis will be on Andy Reid, the coach.
Jeffrey, you analyzed last season, and obviously you took your time to do it.
Yeah.
To what extent, if you could quantify, was the systematic changes, the amount that was tried to be put in place by the coaching staff, did you think led to some of the early confusion, some of the early disappointment? And did you then convey your feelings about that to him?
I did. I do think that, you know, with good intentions, I think there was a lot to be integrated. You know, as I said, we have five significant players that are going to be starting for us this year from that class, but there was no offseason with them. There was a new defensive coordinator. I think it was a combination of decisions that probably weren't maximized in terms of a season that had no offseason. But that wasn't the sole reason. I felt that I was looking at 2012 season, what these players could do, what the talent base could do, who could maximize Michael Vick the best, and what kind of leadership we needed. And, you know, that was what a lot of it went into.
Is there a statement regarding the 8-8 record? I mean, is that without any qualifiers, 1,000 people?
I just, you know, listen, you just got to make the best decisions you can after the season. But as I said, 8-8 was unacceptable.
So regardless of injuries, assuming you said you have a fair amount of good players,
right,
regardless of any injuries, just to clarify,
well,
8-8 is not...
I, you know, again, I'm not going to make blanket statements, but I really wanted to try to explain to you that 8-8 was unacceptable. Yeah, I guess if... you know, two-thirds of the team is not playing, or there's always exceptions, but that was a really unacceptable outcome. I just want to reiterate that.
Jeff, you've been here for, 17 or 18 years now.
Yeah.
How much of a emptiness is it personally for you that you haven't won a Super Bowl, you've been to the one, you haven't...
Right, it's a big emptiness because I feel like we've accomplished everything else. I mean, You know, we've been in a huge percentage of the championship games, won so many division titles, came so close in so many ways. It's really almost really all I think about in terms of the goals and what we try to accomplish. So it's kind of the one remaining situation, one remaining goal. And, you know, I think we've got the means to do it. So it's just a question of hopefully we can make it happen.
How much would it, this season reflect upon Howie Roseman's future with the team?
You know, Howie's done an excellent job. You know, I think general managers get measured by player acquisitions, the draft, trades, how they communicate with the rest of the organization, how they communicate with the players, their strategy going forward. So there's a lot to analyze, and you know, I think Howie's he's doing an outstanding job. And as I said, it's early to make a determination on this draft class, but just based on a few months, it's extremely promising.
Is Michael Vick being held to the same standard as Andy is in regards to this needs to be at a certain level or else you're moving on?
Well, there's no set way to measure that, but we expect Michael Vick to have a terrific year. That's why he's the starting quarterback. That's why he's been signed for a number of years. And I have to say that Michael has been everything we could have asked and more in terms of the intangibles. Now we just need him to maximize that incredible God-given talent, stay healthy, and deliver the kind of offensive performance that you know, great quarterbacks can. And this is a quarterback-driven league, and we will, you know, go as far as our quarterback play can take us, assuming the rest of the team plays well.
Has your day-to-day involvement or influence change or evolve now, Joe, here?
No, not in the slightest. This has been, you know, a situation where we, as I said before, we've groomed outstanding executives, and Don is as good as it gets. He could have been president a while ago. It's just he's been with us a long time in very key roles, you know, chief financial officer, then chief operating officer. He's been at the core of everything we've done. So, no, I have complete faith, and it's going, you know, incredibly well, and the communication is terrific, and I'm very blessed to have those kind of executives.
You've put in a lot of money for coaching staff, to upgrade the coaching staff,
yeah.
Free agents. You've kept Andy here. He's won a lot of games. You know, you see the team like the Giants, your rivals, go and win it twice. I mean, last year they had every injury under the sun. Are you confident that everything you've done as an owner, the recipes you put in are work, that the formula you have here works?
Yeah, I'm very confident, but I think you got to just try everything you possibly can. And we're not, you know, I'm not against trying other ways. I think that the philosophy of it's a quarterback-driven league, you got to have a great passing offense. And you got to have a great pass rush. Those I think, are fundamentals in today's NFL. And I don't see any teams able to compete at a very high level unless they have an outstanding passing offense and a outstanding pass defense involving a pass rush. You don't see it. And I think Andy Reid was ahead of the curve years ago when he focused on the passing game. Now, you don't see very many teams that don't have significantly. Most great teams are the best passing teams.
Since the tragedy in Andy's family, what have you noticed about him? You know, the way he's able to like still focus on his job despite. You know,
yeah, it's remarkable. I'm sure you've all noticed it. He is, you know, completely there, focused, energized. Maybe it's his way. Maybe it's self-therapeutic. He still has his intensity that you know, sometimes comes out in the public view, but often in the private view in terms of coaching his players. I see a tremendously focused man who knows he's got a lot of talent around him and wants to make sure it all happens. You know, I think he's very strong. He's a really strong guy.
You talked about the importance of Michael Vick. Can you talk about your level of concern about his ability to stay healthy?
Yeah, I think, look, I'm a fan. no matter who the quarterback, but with Michael, it's very important that he do everything he possibly can to try to stay healthy. It's not a precise science. And so, you know, you're going to have, you know, Matt Schaub going out for the year and Brady a few years ago and Peyton last year. You're going to have things happen. But you just try to up the odds, I think, of making sure it doesn't happen. And I think there's things that, you know, Michael can do to lower the chances of injury. But it's a volatile game, and that's a rough and tough position.
Jeff, is this the best opportunity for this team to win a Super Bowl since you've been here?
Well, you know, that's a hard question because we've been so close so many times with five championship games and one Super Bowl. So I do think this team has all the ingredients to get there. But as you know, Green Bay last year to me was by far the best team in the NFL, and it wasn't even close. And they were, what, 15-1 in the regular season, didn't win a playoff game. Takes one bad game. You know, I'll reiterate, I think what I said last year when everyone was calling us, you know, a team that was the best in the NFL going into the season, I saw it as a catch-up year. I saw us as needing to catch up, as I told you in this press conference last year, to Green Bay and New Orleans. I thought they were the two teams we had to catch because of those dynamic passing offenses. And I still feel that way. I feel like Aaron Rodgers is the best player in the National Football League, and there's a few other quarterbacks right there with incredible offenses, New Orleans and the Patriots, and of course Eli Manning is as clutch as they get. So I feel like we're there. We're trying to catch up, as are most teams, and yet I think humbled by the fact that there's tremendous talent and there's tremendous quarterback talent in the NFC that we didn't see in the years when we had Donovan. We were, you know, had by far the best quarterback in the division. And now you could say for the first time in many years, all four teams have pretty impressive potential quarterbacks.
So given what you saw last year and this preseason, you're still convinced though that Michael Vick is the guy who can play at the same level of the guys you mentioned?
We hope so. But, you know, I think I'm not into prognosticating. I'm just saying that we hope to see the elite Michael Vick that we saw the year before.
View this one as a catch-up year as well, or do you feel you've caught up and now it's just time to prove it on the field?
You know, I see it as having caught up quite a bit, but we're all football fans in this room, and you know, I think we're looking at some of the greatest players ever to play football in Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, guys like that, and I think, you know, you just have to look out and see what your opponent is, and hopefully our defense can be that much better. And as the Giants proved last year, you get hot and you have a great pass rush and you can nullify sometimes the better quarterback. And, you know, the Giants have used that twice. We hope to be able to do the same thing.
Would you say that the success of this team this year and Andy and Michael's future are kind of tied? Could you see at the end of the year when you go through your evaluations looking at them as one entity? Or
no, I think you have to look at players and coaches separately. And, you know, everyone is evaluated on an individual basis. There's no packages in the NFL, really.
Bob Lamont had mentioned maybe Andy Reid moving to a front office role down the line. Is that something you two have had any conversations about?
It's never been discussed. No, it hasn't been discussed. You know, I will just say that I never have ever spoken about collective bargaining issues, and I'm not going to start now. It's a collective bargaining issue.
You referenced player safety. How have you seen the league take a stand on that? And obviously with what happened in New Orleans, it's in the forefront now. What's the league stance with safety going forward?
Well, I think the league is a top priority. The more there's a realization of any safety issues. You know, it's not the best for the fans to have the kickoffs moved forward like they are. There's fewer exciting returns. It's not the most fan-friendly change. However, in all the research that's been done on injuries, kickoff returns have been the single leading cause of a lot of severe injuries. So there was a debate, should you do what's a little less exciting for safety? And, you know, the league has time and time again now made decisions that are based on making safety a priority. You want your players to be there playing, so that's the key.
Do you feel that the attention that we've seen over the last 2 years to concussions has kind of sent out alarm for parents of kids playing football across the country? And do you worry about 10 years from now whether there will be as much excitement, enthusiasm at the level of attendance and participation?
Yeah, I don't worry, but I think that the more knowledge you have, it gives you a chance to prevent it, to develop equipment, to develop testing, to develop teaching. So the more knowledge, the better in terms of issues like that. It's an important issue, and anyone who doesn't take it seriously, I think, is absolutely has their head in the sand. But I think the NFL produces so much research with universities. We invest in so much research that the modus is there to make sure we are the very best at it, and then that has to filter down to youth football and everywhere else. But listen, it's a volatile game. You can choose to play tennis and you can choose to play tackle football. Tackle football is a more volatile game. But more information we can come up with, more research that we can learn, the better for the sport.
Jeffrey, do you still speak with Joe, and what do you think his role will be in Cleveland, and how will that be different from what he did here?
Yeah, right. I do speak with Joe. You know, I can't really comment because Jimmy Haslam, I think, will be the new owner of the Cleveland Browns. We have a finance committee meeting in September, and we have a owners meeting in mid-October. My assumption is that by the October meeting, we would approve Jimmy. He's been a limited partner in the Steelers and a well-respected applicant for a team. The league still has to do their due diligence, but I expect smooth sailing. I can't comment on what moves Jimmy's going to make at all. I do know that if Joe ends up there as president, they're going to get a terrific executive. And I think, you know, in a turnaround situation like Cleveland in particular, I think, you know, it would be a great decision of Jimmy if Joe is there.
Joe's still an employee of the Eagles?
Joe is an advisor. Yeah.
He's
an advisor. It's not on football matters. It's on some special projects that we're doing that have nothing to do with football. Yeah.
Last time you spoke of Juan's fate was still kind of hanging in the balance. Do you feel comfortable and are you sold that he's the right man to be the defensive coordinator?
You know, I don't think it's for me to say. It's really for Andy Reid to say. Those are his calls. I've never interfered with his judgment of who should be the coordinators and who he hires like that. You know, we've had discussions, but I think I think one of the important things we did in the off season that I didn't even mention was bringing in some impressive leaders into the organization and the roster. D'Amico Ryan's very impressive leader. Tom Donahoe into scouting, very impressive leader. And on coaching staff, Todd Bowles, very impressive leader. So, the more one can build the roster and build the coaching staff in a way that makes sense, the more chance you have for success.
Okay.
Thank you very much.